Friends, pray with me. Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the new light of this day. Open our lips to tell of the empty tomb, and open our hearts to believe the good news. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Friends, please open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 24 through 26. Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the tyrant be rescued? For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Church, we ended our last sermon by asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand the utter hopelessness of what it would be like to be enslaved by a human trafficker. Now that we will be entering the third theme of the gospel, rescued, let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue his work in our midst and in our very lives so that we might better grasp who Jesus is and what he has done to free us. For Jesus truly came to save us from the powers, the dominions, the governments of sin, death, Satan, his minions, and hell. And he has come to free us from those powers and that enslavement. So imagine with me being in that room of enslavement, bound, helpless, terrified, used, and in utter hopelessness of our situation. You want to sleep, but you can't sleep because sleep is dangerous, because it makes you even more vulnerable. So there's no rest. Suddenly, you feel a hand on your shoulder. You jolt, because right now touch means harm. But when you open your eyes, you see the face of a man who instantly puts you at ease. How did he get into this room? Your rescuer's face is warm and gentle. But there's something even more than mere gentleness about him. He eludes utter strength and confidence. Just the sight of him gives you a sense of security and the belief that this nightmare, this enslavement, can finally end. Your rescuer helps you to your feet, unties your hands, and tenderly brushes the dust and debris from your shoulders. He is looking at you, calming you, and filling you with unspeakable hope. He then walks you towards the locked door, outside of which your captor lurks. Conflicting emotions fight within you. You fear the man outside, but you're exhilarated by the prospect of escaping this hellish place. As the man who is there to rescue you begins to turn the doorknob, you realize how much you dread and you don't want to witness the confrontation between this gentle man who is rescuing you and the fiend on the other side of the door. But as you leave the room, it comes clear that the confrontation has already occurred. The trafficker is on the floor. Hands and feet are bound, mouth covered with duct tape. The evil trafficker cannot touch you and cannot hurt you anymore. As you stepped around the one who terrorized you, the man who came to rescue you and bound your tormentor turns to you, and with a smile so radiant you can hardly bear it, your rescuer says, "He can't harm you now. I have overcome him. I sought you out and rescued you from his grip, from his power, from his government. Do not be afraid anymore." This may be one of the best ways I know how to enter the next theme of the gospel, the good news, the kerygma, which is the theme, rescued, which focuses our attention on the extraordinary response of God to the situation of our human race, which is that we have been captured and bound by sin, death, Satan, his minions, and hell, as we have talked about for the last 5 weeks. Friends, what has God done about our hopeless predicament that we are in? God has rescued us. He didn't send an angel. He didn't teach us a new method or start a new program. Rather, God himself gave himself and has rescued us in the most spectacular of ways. As we already heard today, the following passage from the book of Isaiah can better help us enter this incredible story of God's rescue plan of our human race. Can the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? "For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Can the prey be taken from the mighty? God answers that question with a resounding yes and says that he himself will contend with those who contend with us. This, my friends, is no mere just words. This is a promise from God. He does this because he is the Lord, your Savior, and your Redeemer, says the Holy Scripture. Let's pause for a moment to understand the word redeemer. The biblical Hebrew word for redeemer is goel. In ancient Israel, goel, or redeemer, referred to a male family member who was obliged to act on behalf of his relatives if certain things happened. For example, if a family member was sold or had sold themselves into slavery, the goel, the redeemer, had the obligation to buy the person back from captivity and slavery. Or if a relative was murdered, the goel's obligation was to make sure that good and right and holy justice was done. With this in mind, know what God says in the book of Isaiah. The God who made the universe, that is 46 billion light years across, considers you and me his family. Jesus fights against and destroys the power of sin, death, Satan, and hell, thus bringing divine justice and liberating us from the tyranny of those pathetic powers. Before we explore that further, let me offer a helpful idea and story. Many of the early church fathers, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, etc., grandparents of the Christian faith, wondered what the conversation was like between the three distinct persons of the one God, the Holy Trinity, and how they, the triune God, would save humanity. And our early faithful forebears of the true Christian faith imagined that the three persons of the one God commune together like they always do, and they talk together. God the Father, the interpretation goes, looks to the other two persons of the Holy Trinity and poses these questions: who will go and get him? Who will bring him back? Who will bring him home? God the Son turns his head towards the Father to say, I will. I will go and get him, and I will bring him home. And the Holy Spirit has his head turned down, for he knows what it will cost the Son to do this, his life. The him, or the her, the Trinity is talking about, is you. God will not let his children remain in the hands of these evil powers. To God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you, my friends, are far more important than you could ever dare to imagine. In my experience as a pastor, I have realized that when most people think of Jesus, they think of him as kind and compassionate and meek and mild and merciful and loving. He is all those things. And so much more, to be sure. But Jesus is not only these things. Jesus is also utterly unconquerable and powerful and holy. He is the Lord, which is not just a conclusion of our prayers. Jesus is the Lord and King, and that is who he is. And because of this, the grace I want to pray for in this theme of the gospel, rescued, is for unshakable confidence in God our Lord and King. Unshakable confidence in God our Lord and King. As with the other parts of this sermon series, there is far too much to cover. Years could be devoted to what I'm just merely touching on for the next few weeks. But I hope that this sermon series will help us to better understand what God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. As we go through this theme of being rescued, I will address three major questions. Why did Jesus even come? What was Jesus doing on the cross? And what difference does all this make? And by knowing and experiencing the answers to these three questions, may we, you, me, and all of Cornerstone Church, be blessed with unshakable faith in God, our Savior and Redeemer. 4. God rescue Mary, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Let's pray together. Father, as a church, we need unshakable confidence in you. We ask, O Lord, that during this time as a church, we could bring all our doubts, all our fears, all our anxieties to you and know that they can all be healed. For you are the God who can heal every cell. You are the God who can heal every thought. You are the God who can heal every motive. You are the God who heals not only our souls, but you heal our bodies, our minds, our emotions, and our souls. You redeem all of this so that we can fully be with you. As you intended, as you intend, and as you will intend. God, we ask that we would praise you, our Redeemer. Again, we think of all these individuals that have been pointed out to us who in their sickness need a Redeemer. Heal them, O God, and heal us. And help us to celebrate you always. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.